today. We want to welcome each and every one out to the services this morning. I hope that you've come with the purpose of praising the Lord this day. I hope that you've come with the purpose of knowing and learning more about Him. And I hope that you've taken the time to lift up these services in your prayers this morning. And I know that if you've come here today with the purpose of serving Him, if you've prayed that the Lord might bless you today, then I know already that you've been blessed. For those who are here in the Sunday school service, Brother Greg taught a very good lesson about walking on water. We'll be going along some of those same lines this morning as we preach, but we were certainly blessed in that. We're blessed through the singing of songs, through the reading of Scripture, one of my favorite Scriptures this morning. You know what? The Lord is here this morning. He's promised to be here. We're down in number, but He's promised wherever two or three are gathered together that there He'll be in the midst of them. We believe that the Lord is here this morning. His Spirit is here this morning. His angels are in attendance today. So let's look to Him this morning for blessings, because He is able to shower down so many great blessings upon us. We worship a Lord who is full of mercy, compassion, grace, and full of blessing. And He has exactly what we need here today. I am convinced of that. This morning, if the Lord be my helper, I'd like to speak to you about the subject of crossing deep waters. Crossing deep waters. This morning, as I was saying, Brother Greg taught a lesson about walking on the water, so to say, and today I'm going to be preaching about God clearing out the waters, removing the waters. There are four times in the Word of God where God split the water to allow safe passage for those on the other side to make it to the other. And I'd like to look at each four of those instances in the Word of God today and see how they can be an example to us in our walk through this life. You see, in our lives, you know, we think we got a lot of rivers around, we got a lot of creeks around, things like that. You know, it's unlikely that the Lord is going to split the Ohio River for you, or the 12th Pole, or Big Sandy, or whatever it might be, especially when there's bridges all around. But I want you to consider for a moment what these rivers and bodies of water would have been to people who were traveling back in this day, back in biblical times, and even in pioneer times, we think of that. And especially when you have large groups of people traveling. When they would come to a river, it would seem as if it would be sometimes very difficult to pass over to the other side. And they would have to send scouts up and down the river to, or the body of water, whatever it might be, to look and see if there was a better place to cross, a more narrow place, a place where the water was more shallow. Rivers and bodies of water become great obstacles to people as they traveled in the past. And really, that's the thought that I want to draw from this morning. You see, in our own lives, there's going to be times that we all have to kind of come to these metaphorical rivers, so to say, and they are going to stand as an obstacle in our way. But these rivers, these bodies of water, must be crossed in our life. And praise be to God that we worship a God who is able to part the waters and allow us victory to walk through to the other side on dry ground. My friends, the Lord, when He sets us on a path, He is able to get us through. Turn, if you would, with me to the very first instance of the parting of water. And the Word of God, of course, is a very familiar text to almost everyone here, I'm sure of that, in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to be reading a lot of verses here. This is something I don't normally do as I'm preaching. But this morning, pull up your Bible and get comfortable. We're going to start in verse 14, or verse number 10, and we're going to read through verse 31. And it says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. I love this. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went before their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued, and they went after them into the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hands over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned, and they covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and in the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that the great work of the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Now, as I said, I don't normally read a passage that large as we start a message, but, you know, as we look at this account in the Word of God, certainly this is one of the most powerful accounts that we read, and I don't want to diminish any word of what is here by not reading it. And I know that many of you all know the story behind this, but the Israelites had been in bondage to Egypt for quite a number of years, and now 400 years later, They are ready to come out. They are ready to come out. They've spent their years in toil and building the Egyptian cities with mortar and brick and these things. And God heard their afflictions. He heard their cries as they cried out to God. And He was touched with their troubles. And He called out Moses and told him to lead His people out into the promised land. Go back into the land that I promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And of course, as they were in Egypt and as they were in slavery, that would not be an easy task. And we see how Moses went and stood before Pharaoh, who at the time was the most powerful man in the whole world. And he said, "Let my people go." That is the message of the Lord. And we see that Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he would not let them go. So God sent the plagues upon upon Egypt there one by one to show them His dominion over their gods, to show them how mighty of a God that Jehovah God was. The last plague, the death of the firstborn child, caused Pharaoh to say, "Get out. Get out." The people cried, "Get out." They gladly gave him their jewelry. They gave him their things. They desired for them to leave. And the Lord led the nation of Israel. It says, by a pillar of smoke in the daytime, and there fire in the sky at night. And God has led them to this point here at the Red Sea where these great waters are. And you know, as they were going down the Red Sea, perhaps they thought they would come to this point and they would kind of rest here and let God lead them to some other direction, because here was not a point where they could cross. But you see, coming behind them now in a blaze of earthly glory was Pharaoh and all of his armies. In front of them, this great expanse of water. Behind them, seemingly death was approaching. There was nowhere to run to. There was nowhere to hide. Panic sets through the camp. They begin to complain. They begin to doubt and say such things as, you know, we were better off slaves than to die here in the wilderness. And then, of course, we saw how Moses was instructed to take his rod and to lift his hands up, and then the water parts. The water parts. The sea splits. Nothing is left in their path but dry ground. And God gave passage to the Israelites that night, led them over to the other shore, where there would be great rejoicing. In the next chapter, we learn actually of how they praise God with song. The first time we have song mentioned in the Word of God, they sang, they praised Him with song, they praised Him with dance, they praised Him with timbrels. And it's such a wonderful thing to see. But the waters that parted to give them safety, we know, of course, were waters that led to the destruction of the army that followed behind them. You know, there are going to be times in our lives just like this. Times in our lives when it seems like the whole world is coming against us. And you are in a place where you cannot seemingly go any further because of the great sea in front of you. You look behind you and you see the things that have enslaved you in the past, and it seems like they are just galloping at full force towards you. Maybe you today, maybe you even this hour, feel just as enslaved as those Israelites did. Maybe you've been a slave to drugs in the past, or a slave to alcohol or some other vice, and you know, you've cried out to God, and it seems as if God is leading you and leading you away from those things. But then you come to that point in life where it seems like you just come to that water's brink where you can't cross, and there behind you are the old friends, the old dealers, all of those old things to try to bring you back in and enslave you once more. Those aren't the only kinds of things that enslave us in life. We get enslaved by the things of life, such things like emotions of guilt, failed relationships, you name it, folks. Satan will use it against the child of God to enslave you, make you feel like you're not good enough, make you feel like you're nothing. You want to move forward? You want to forgive? You want to forget? You want to love? You want to feel love? But you come to this river in life, and it seems as if the water's too deep and the river's too wide. And the very things that you're trying to escape just keep coming up and coming up behind you. Am I talking to anyone this morning? Maybe I am. Maybe I'm just talking to myself. But I think we've all found ourselves in similar situations. Now you think of this. The Israelites, had they stayed there, right where they were at, had they continued to murmur, the Egyptians would have come. The Egyptians would have rounded them up, taken them back into Egypt, or destroyed them one. But God had this planned out from the very beginning, did He not? He had it planned out. Already had a victory planned out for Him to bring Him to this point and show Him His power and His glory again. The sea split. Folks, I can't even fathom how this happened, how God did this. I understand the wind came, but my Bible says that it looked like a wall of water on each side. Now, there's a lot of people today that like to theorize they crossed the land bridge and all of these other things, but the Bible says a wall of water on each side. And they passed through, not on muddy ground, but on dry land. Listen, folks, God has no desire for His children to be enslaved in the things of this world. None at all. He came to this earth to set you free from the bondage of sin, set you free from all of the things that hold you back from serving Him. On the cross, He bore your guilt, He bore your shame, so that it might not enslave you as well. God has provided a way of escape. He has provided victory in your life if you will trust Him and listen, stand back, wait on the Lord, and see that He will roll back the sea for you. See that He will not provide salvation in that day and hour that you need it. God is a God who makes the improbable probable and makes the impossible totally possible. The problem is, though, is that too many times in our lives, listen, we get to the point where we're scared. We're scared to listen to the voice of truth and pass through those waters. We listen to all of those voices crying out to us, and we stand still, and we worry, and we fret, and we get nowhere. Sometimes, we do that long enough for that enemy to come up behind us and to take us right back. Over and over again, we repeat the process sometimes. But that is not God's will for His children. Listen, God never put us on a course that He hasn't provided a way for. It wasn't by accident that they crossed here. God brought them here, provided a way to pass over, and God has provided a way for you as well. He's provided grace for the moment. He's provided strength for the moment. But listen, when it comes to the moment, we must put our trust in Him. Because when we begin to trust in ourselves, that's when the waters come crashing back down and no passage is able to go. So trust in the Lord. Put your faith in Him in that moment. He will make a way. Listen, the same God that split the Red Sea is the same God that is providing for you here this morning, my friends, and there is nothing, no, not nothing, that is too big for the Lord. Nothing is too big for the Lord. And listen, my friends, when He has delivered you over to the other side, don't forget to take a lesson from the Israelites and praise His name. Let there be joy in your camp. Now, let's turn over to another water crossing. This water crossing comes just a few books later. Over in the book of Joshua, Israel's journey there in the wilderness would last for 40 years. We're going to turn over to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. As we were saying, the Israelites had been there for 40 years out in the wilderness. They had seen many miracles along the way. God had provided manna for them on a daily basis to eat. He provided water for them to drink out of a rock, and God had provided them victory there in the wilderness many times over. But along the way, He also taught them how to worship Him. Along the way, He gave to them His law. And along the way, the people suffered many personal losses because of their disobedience. Even Moses and Aaron will not make it cross this river. Joshua now leads the way. Beyond Jordan is the land of promise, that land promised again to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Here was the land that God promised to give them as they left Egypt. Here is a land that is full of cities that they did not build. Here is a land of vineyards that they did not plant. A land flowing with milk and honey. Now, when we think of the crossing of Jordan, many of us probably get this vision of a very small river. But that's not what was there when they got there. You see, the Israelites got there in the time of harvest. And during the time of harvest, the Jordan overflows its banks and it becomes several hundred yards wide and very deep and too swift to pass over. You know, as I'm sure that those who dwelt in the land thought that this was the providence of their gods, that as they came to this river, that the waters were too swift for them to cross. But here is God's timing to show His strength and to show His glory. Look in verse 11 of chapter 3. Verse 11 of chapter 3. This time we'll be reading down to verse 17. It says, "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over you into Jordan. Now therefore take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. It shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people were moved from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bear the ark, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaretan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and were cut off, and the people passed over against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. God put a supernatural dam upstream to stop the water from flowing. But again, they didn't cross over in mud and yuck. They crossed over on dry ground. Now you think of this time that we have a nation of Israelites, millions and millions, crossing over bravely, crossing over joyfully as they entered the land that God had promised to them. Now, what can we learn from this passage? What can we apply to our own lives? How does this speak to me? Well, I sincerely believe that God desires good things for His children. Romans 8, verse 28 tells me that all things work for good of those that love Him. I want you to notice here that the Israelites, Joshua didn't tell them, tomorrow morning you just get up and you go towards the river. That's not what he said. He didn't say that. He told them to sanctify themselves, to get ready, that the Lord was going to be in the camp. They were told to follow the ark. Follow the ark and the priest into Jordan. The ark represents the presence of God. Inside the ark were the tablets of stone in which the law of God were written, the commandments of God. You know, as we go through this life as a Christian, we can do things in two different ways. We can try doing things our own way, and it never works out. But if we follow the presence of God, which today is not bound up in that ark anymore, but dwells within us as the Holy Spirit dwells within His children, we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we follow after His commandments, then we know that the Lord will stop any troubled waters this life and lead us into a land of blessing. Yes, I sincerely believe that God has so many blessings to bestow upon His children if we will just go when He says to go, and if we will stay when He says to stay, to do what He would have us to do. So many blessings if we would just follow after His commandments. But when we don't, we just stay stuck on the wrong side of Jordan. Stuck on the wrong side of Jordan, wondering why we can't make it to the other side. Brothers and sisters, let us take stock of ourselves this morning. Are we seeking the will of God? Are we following Him on the straight and narrow path? The path that Christ has set before us. Now, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be rosy along the way, folks. It doesn't mean that at all, because it's not. But no matter what may come along that path, we know that if we're walking in His way, that there'll be blessings all along. Blessings, one after another. Now, let's look at our next river crossing here. And if you were here on Wednesday night, you heard me read about these two water crossings, but they are found for us in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings in chapter 2. Again, these will be crossings of the River Jordan. Now, for those who have not been with us in our Wednesday night study, we've been looking into the life of Elijah. We've looked at his first calling to go and to speak to Ahab, and Jezebel in their court. We've seen Ahab now passing on, and we see the last task that Elijah was called to do, to speak to the son of Ahab. And during all of this time, we have seen the great favor that God has placed upon Elijah. We've seen the great things that Elijah's been able to do through the power of God, like the raining down of fire. It has come now, though, time for Elijah's ministry to end upon this earth. In fact, the Lord has now revealed to him that it's his time on this earth is through. And God directs Elijah just where he wants him to be. And I want you to look in 2 Kings chapter 2, or 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 6. Or sorry, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 6. I'm in the wrong place. That's not good. Now, it says, "And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and stood to view afar off, and they stood, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither so that the two went over on dry ground." This will be the last miracle that Elijah performs by the grace of God. And we see here once again that God causes the water to part. Once again, God allows them to walk over on dry ground. They are now on the eastern side of the Jordan River. This was as far as Moses was ever allowed to go, by the way. Along this path that they've traveled, Elijah and Elisha, they've traveled to Bethel. They've traveled to Jericho, and now God is leading Elijah across Jordan. And as we see, if we could go back and had the time, we could see how all along this way there has seemingly been peace with Elijah every step of the way. Once on the eastern bank of the Jordan, they travel a little further, and then, of course, this is when that great chariot of fire came down. And that whirlwind carried Elijah up to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, what can we learn from this text this morning? Well, I think it is this. If the Lord should tarry His coming, we will all come to this Jordan someday. We will all come to this Jordan someday. A time in which we will pass through to the other side that leads into heaven. Many men, many women fear death. They fear it because they have no hope. No hope at all. They want to do everything that they can do to live as long as possible. But for the Christian, there is great hope. We know that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. We know that when the final moments of life come, that the Lord is going to roll back that Jordan and that we will cross through to the other side safely, in peace. And I don't know about you folks, but I'm looking forward to this final crossing. I'm looking forward to it because I want to be with my Lord. I want to get away from the old sinful things of this world and the old things of my flesh. I'm looking forward to that crossing of Jordan. Now we have one more. I'll briefly go on here as our time has passed. You don't have to turn in your Bible very far here to get to this one. We're going to be looking in 2 Kings chapter 2 now in verse 13. But there we know as Elijah was called up into glory that Elisha was standing there, and Elisha picked up the mantle that Elijah had, symbolizing how he was now carrying on the work of Elijah. A double portion of Elijah's spirit would be now upon Elisha. And Elisha came back to the place where he and Elijah had come across Jordan. The waters had long since returned after they had left. But now Elisha needs to go back over towards Jericho, back on the other side. And in verse 13, it says, "He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted thither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him." The very last miracle of Elijah would be the very first miracle of Elisha. Elisha went back over to Jericho and he began his ministry, began to do what the Lord called him to do as his mouthpiece for the nation of Israel. Now, what lesson can we learn from this final thing this morning? How can we apply this even to our lives? This crossing over Jordan signified the beginning of Elisha's service to the Lord. This miracle provided proof to the prophets around that Elisha was now God's appointed man. I think of these last waters, and again, I believe that they represent service. You see, as Christians, it is very easy for us sometimes to become idle. It is easy to try to hide in the shadows and not be of great service to the Lord, especially for those that are young, as they see so many older people doing so many things, it's easy for younger ones to kind of get used to sitting on their cush, so to say. But as saints of God, like Elijah passes from this life to the next, there must be Elishas in waiting to take up the mantle. There must be Elishas in the waiting to take up the mantle. Service means commitment. Service means stepping out and sometimes taking the heat. Service can be scary, no matter what that service may be. Whether it be in leading of songs, whether it be in the playing of music, whether it be in teaching, whether it be in preaching, whether it be going out and ministering to those in need. Listen, rest assured, brothers and sisters, when you step out and when you take the mantle that has been given to you and seek to serve Him, God will roll back Jordan and He will open up opportunities on the other side for you to serve Him as long as you follow after His will. Now, I know this morning that we've spoken very metaphorically, but I hope that this has been a blessing to you today. I hope that it's been a time of learning. Brothers and sisters, God is for you. He is providing a way for you. And folks, if it were necessary, my God is big enough to split the entire ocean and let you go through to the other side. Brother Randy, if you'll come and lead us in song. Sister, if you'll come.